Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Andrew McKenna from TalkSport. We're out in Sri Lanka covering the England cricket tour. As well as exclusive live ball-by-ball coverage of the Test series, TalkSport are also giving you a podcast. It's published daily. It's called Following On and covers all the news and views around the tour. It's full of player interviews, reaction and analysis from TalkSport's team of experts, including Darren Goff, Jared Kimber and Matt Prior. Oh yeah, and also some of me. We'll be rounding up each day of action from the Test matches, plus the news from all the other days on tour. You can subscribe now by going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favourite podcast app. Search for the Following On Cricket Podcast. Subscribe now and never miss a show.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Now, International Week, when you're into the very pits of International Week. Yeah. Actually, it's going to be worse next week. But some of the hard-hitting football stories are a bit thin on the ground. Mm. So we diversify, don't we?
Yeah.
We did chess today, but it was actually a very interesting chat. I defy you not to go and watch a bit of chess online tonight after this conversation.
I agree.
I know you're not going to, but anyway, it was interesting stuff, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
And
Malcolm Payne.
That's right. We had a bit of a chat. We talked about.
You did a shout out like a great DJ. To an old school friend.
Yes, that was good. Wasn't it? I don't normally
shout out to my ex, Ewan Little Mix.
Oh yeah, there was a T20 birthday spread that'll be in there.
Yeah,
and some.
Can't wait. Yeah. You drew pictures of Olive from on the buses all over your notes,
I draw pictures every day.
That's more a visual thing. And there was news of a kidnapping, which was a bit troubling. But anyway, here it all is. We know, we take it as read that on a football night you watch football.
Yeah, I do.
And you find football to watch, just as you did watching Hampton and Richmond.
Bits, you know, helps.
So, what? There was no football last night.
No football.
Well, you could have listened. You should have listened, really, to Tottenham under 21s at Portsmouth under 21s, but I take it you didn't.
I didn't, did you?
No, I kept in touch with the score, though, sadly.
It's funny how you do. How do they get on?
I didn't know what the final score was. I think they were losing 2-1. So, okay. I don't know what happened in the end. It was live on TalkSport 2, though.
I finished watching that marvellous documentary that you told me about on Monday. That was
They Shall Not Grow Old, yeah, it's fantastic. The Peter Jackson documentary.
Oh, brilliant. And then, of course, we watched Neighbours.
Of course we watched Neighbours.
And then, honestly, it wasn't great, really, last night. Dick Strawbridge Escaped to the Chateau.
Really?
I like that programme.
Yeah.
But it's there's no sport in it whatsoever.
That's a good tash, isn't it?
Oh,
that's a Movember and half, isn't it? It's fantastic. Talking of that, Cristiano Ronaldo's couple of hours drinking before the tennis.
Ridiculous.
Have you seen this?
Yes.
They popped into Scott's in Mayfair, the old, very nice restaurant, of course. And bought 27 grand's worth of booze. They knocked back an £18,000 bottle of Richebourg Grand Cru, but they didn't even finish their 82 Petrus.
Oh, that's disgusting, really, to leave the
I mean,
Petrus.
That would be top draw minesweeping, wouldn't it? If you've been sitting there watching them have a drink, or you're even one of the staff, and you go there to clear up, and all they've left half a bottle, and you're going to put the cork in that and stick it in your old all, aren't you?
Expensive.
£4,500 worth of booze to take home.
It's just so ridiculous. It makes no sense, expensive wine. Because, I mean, they describe it. They don't. The sun, they say it's spicy, but with a velvety texture.
Yeah.
There's a herbaceousness and cedary spiciness that mesmerises the taste buds in much the way Ronaldo dazzles defenders. But the thing is, it's wine. It's just wine. I don't know how good it is. It can't be worth 27 grand.
Have you ever... I've never drunk very, very expensive. I mean, not that I know of.
I've got a friend, you know, actually, it's a mutual friend, who has a friend who's an expert in wine. When they go there for dinner, he serves these very, very expensive, like £500 bottles. And I said to him, is there any difference? And he said, well, there is.
So you can tell.
You can tell.
But I doubt if I've ever tried anything above about... I mean, I didn't pay for it either.
Probably about 100 quid would be my top.
I can't think in what circles Christmas. I would have drunk 100 quid wine.
No,
really.
Christmas. One year I remember buying one. But, you know...
TalkSport, yeah, listen, nice. Can you match that? And in what circumstances did you find yourself at the top table when it came to wine? Let us know this afternoon. Did it make a difference? Because, obviously, Cristiano... thinks it down. He left half
Petrus
of it.
Petrus check.
Left, left half of it. He could have paid his wages, really, with a bottle of that. It's amazing.
But I've got one here from page... Oh, it's on page two.
Oh, okay. I thought it was somebody, a girl called Paige, you'd have no, from.
Because it's International Week, I tend to delve into page two and three.
Yeah, blimey, if we get to page three, we are in the madhouse of Andy's
notes. We will be, don't worry about that. Rare Burgundy sells for £424,000. But where's the value, I've written? I'll tell you what I wrote,
it's
where's the value?
It's not a bet on an outsider. Why are you writing where's the value?
Because as soon as you open it, it's worth nothing. That's the problem with this wine. It's worth something until you open it. Once you've opened it, you've either got to drink it or...
I don't sense that we're coming across like any great experts on wine in the last 5 minutes.
No.
The alternative coin toss we were alluding to earlier on, you've probably seen there was a referee in a women's game, didn't have a coin, and just had to basically the paper, scissors, stone. A good job. David Seaman wasn't the skipper in England.
Do you think if it had been a men's game... Yeah. He wouldn't have been in trouble for it. Do you think the fact that it was a women's game and then they felt slighted that he didn't bring the coin
I think he probably would have got in trouble whoever's game it was, really. It's not ideal, is it? I mean, he's supposed to, that's part of your kit. They show that thing, don't they? The referee's kit. Yeah. One thing you remember as a referee.
It's inexcusable. It's no point trying.
It's a bit like Kenny Ball turning up for a gig without his trumpet. It would never happen, would it? It would never happen. This is our last show, then. Is
apparently,
it on that basis? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it.
Good.
So, maybe we should go down that route as well. I always enjoy those. It's the one, but if you're a referee, what's the first thing you do when you go out on the pitch as a referee? Well, we know you've got to have your whistle. That's number one.
Whistle,
number two,
notebook, cards.
Okay, would you put the notebook and cards ahead of a coin?
Yes.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't you think the coin you'll only need as
once.
Important?
The coin you'll only use once.
That's a bit like saying, I'm Wyatt Earp, I want a gun and bullets. Oh, you need both, mate. You need the gun and the bullets.
No, you do need the coin, but if you're going priorities, coin would be last.
Well, clearly not, because you'd end up doing paper, scissors, stone.
But you couldn't you can referee a match by doing paper, scissors, stone of a way of deciding who kicks which way.
Well, you can't,
but
clearly.
You couldn't referee a match without a whistle. Would be my
people have. I mean, people have forgot their whistle and they've just whistled the game, haven't they? I'm sure there's been games when the referee's not had a whistle and he's just shouted, "Stop!" I mean, you could do it. You could get through
Kazoo.
Without a whistle.
I don't know. Yeah, I suppose so.
Okay, well, that leads us down all sorts of routes. Has a referee ever forgotten his whistle? Basics. People forgetting the very basics of their trade. Plumber turns up without his rods. Just have a few of those as well. And Steve says, funny you should talk about alternative coin tosses. I played pool at the weekend and neither of us had a coin. So I spun my mobile into the air and my mate called either front or back. Did the trick.
Yeah, and now he needs a new screen. Tremendous.
Smashed your mobile, Steve.
No, but in tennis, you used to spin your racket, didn't you? That was always very common.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so if you were playing...
They don't do that now anymore. No, they rough or smooth. No, wouldn't be the way to do it.
Rough or smooth would be good.
So if you've had an alternative along those lines, we'd love to hear from you. 08717223344. TalkSport.com, text 81089. Blimey, we've set you to work more than I ever thought in this last 5 minutes. The really expensive wines you've had a go at, did it, and in what circumstances, and was it really good? Did you really notice the difference from your £6 bottle of Plonk from your supermarket? And
it's a limited call subject, there, isn't it? Yes, I did. No, I didn't.
Well, Andy, we'll never know. You can sit there and poo-poo all you like.
Anyway, I want to talk about Muffin Man, Steve Hine. He was beaten by Gary Anderson in the Grand Slam of Darts. He hit the hockey wearing a chef's hat and handing out muffins to the crowd.
Nice
touch.
And
he lost 5-1. You think, why don't you give up darts and just take up Bake Off?
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And so, somebody who knows less about crisps than we know about wine was this bloke who wrote to the Star and said, I used to love Gary Lineker's cheese and onion crisps.
Yeah.
But the flavour's gone. What do you mean Gary Lineker? Like, he makes them. These people are amazing.
He's got his own factory.
Yeah, I've left Walkers. I'm joined Lineker's. Ridiculous.
Well, I once played in a game where the referee carried around a big school bell, which he used in place of a whistle.
Really?
Says Joe in Congleton. Is that true, Joe? How tempting would it have been to start humming the theme to Please Sir after every decision? One for the teenagers. Mm. So coming up this afternoon,
that too.
Dave Kidd from The Sun was at one time a fanzine writer. Yeah. There's only one F in Fulham, which I think is marking an anniversary at the moment.
It's one of the most famous, isn't it?
It is. One of the original and best fanzines.
I was thinking, producer Tom was telling me that Fulham are 500-1 for the league on the news.
5,000-1.
5,000-1. Yeah. Sorry, 5,000-1. Exactly.
I think he may have been having you on because I think the bookies caught a cold last time, and I don't think anybody will ever be 5,000-1 again. But if anybody can overcome those odds.
You can't. We all wrote off Ranieri when he went to Leicester. Yeah. And we all know what happened, so you can't write him off.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Now, we rarely get the opportunity, we do occasionally over the years, and we have occasionally over the years, turn to the world of chess.
Yes.
Because you have some weird and wonderful stories. It's a bit of infighting goes on. It's quite an interesting world.
Some papers treat it as sport. It features on the sports pages, and others don't. So some say it's a pastime, but I think it's a competitive.
Well, the fact that one of the competitors in the World Chess Championship took on England and Liverpool's Trent Alexander-Arnold in a game recently, allows us to talk about it. Magnus Carlsen, who's the kind of the star, really, of chess at the moment, he's in the final with Fabiano Caruana of the United States, and it's taking place in a glass box in London. Yeah. Let's find out why from Malcolm Payne, the Daily Telegraph chess correspondent. Hi, Malcolm.
Good afternoon.
So why is it in the glass box?
It's mainly to prevent cheating. So we're always very, very scared. Now that computers are so much better than human players, you can get a kind of, I guess, who wants to be a millionaire scenario that, you know, these guys are so good that all you have to do is not tell them the move that wins. You just have to tell them there's something good there. If someone was to cough in the audience in a funny way, well, this might give them a clue. So there's this, they're on stage in what is an old theatre. It's the old Cochrane Theatre in the West End. And there's a glass screen in front of the players, between the players and the audience. The audience can see in, the players can't see out, and you can't hear anything.
Wow. It's been quite tight so far. Have they finished the third game? They've been
another fourth game.
Fourth game. They've had a couple of draws. Was it three draws?
34-move draw, game four.
Yeah, the first game was very, very sharp and interesting, and I think the challenger, Caruana, was really nervous. He didn't play very well. He was completely lost several times, but Magnus Carlsen missed his chances and didn't win the game. And then the other three games have been fairly quiet draws. But it's kind of advantaged Caruana in a way, in that he's kind of stabilised after being in a real mess in the first game. He's now in the match. He's drawn four games. And also, you know, a lot of the battle takes place off the board with all the preparation. You're trying to guess what the other guy's going to do so that you can ask your computer to analyse it and be ready for him. And Caruana has, if you like, done a little bit better in the opening so far. So Magnus might be... He looked really frustrated, actually, after yesterday's game, when he had the white pieces, which is like serving in tennis. You know, you've got the initiative in the game, and he got absolutely nothing, and he was pretty fed up afterwards.
Are they quite different personalities, the two of them? Because Carlsen seems to have been doing a bit of showbiz stuff. He's a bit more sort of breakout, isn't he? He puts himself about a bit on the showbiz circuit.
That's exactly right. I mean, Carlsen's the one who's always being seen with celebrities. You know, you see him on the front row of big NBA games. He's been the fashion model. He's been down the catwalk modelling G-Star clothes with Liv Tyler. He was even going to appear in the latest Star Trek movie, but they couldn't quite get the visa organised in time. Whereas Caruana's very much, you know, much more quieter, reserved. You can tell he's deeply analytical in every aspect of his personality, and he's much more the more traditional type. But Carlsen is fantastic for the game.
You mentioned the preparation, and there's a bit of a sort of bit of intrigue, wasn't there? A clip appeared on YouTube, sort of revealing the secrets of Caruana's preparation. And
this was astonishing. Yeah. Okay. There are only two explanations for this. One, it was a really subtle piece of disinformation / fake chess news from Caruana. Or two, it was incredibly stupid of his team to allow that to be released. But yeah, what the video showed was basically Caruana with his some of his analysts, three or four of them, all looking at what's known as chess openings, the way that you begin the game, which is the most important part of it in the World Championships in many ways. And it actually had some screenshots of his laptop showing the different openings that he was actually thinking about doing. Now, that kind of information is absolute gold dust. You would never give away what kind of openings you're going to play because, you know, it could be one of about 500 different things. And if your opponent can narrow it down, then he can start preparing for you in a far more detailed way with his computers than he could before. So it was either disinformation or incredibly stupid.
Yeah. Do these two get on? It seems over the years of these great chess battles in World Championships, there's always been a bit of animosity between the players. They've been the ones that we've always remembered over the years. So how do these two get on together?
Yeah, there won't be any kicking under the table like we had in the old Cold War battles with Korchnoi and Spassky and all that kind of stuff when things got really, really nasty. I mean, these two, I wouldn't say they're friends. They're more colleagues and they've got perfectly, you know, sensible, what I would call sporting relations. So I don't expect any violence to break out at any point except on the chessboard.
Channel 4 won, I remember, one World Championship. It was, I think it was Nigel Short, wasn't it?
1993, that's right.
Yeah, they showed it, didn't they? And it was quite good television, but I don't think there's any coverage of it this time, is there? Other than probably,
it's probably online, I would
imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it has an absolutely huge following online. I mean, one of the tournaments that I run the London Chess Classic every year, which is one of the world's most prestigious tournaments. You know, we had 2 million people tuning in.
Wow.
I mean, not simultaneously, obviously, all the servers would have just exploded. But, you know, there are millions of people tuning into live chess. It's a real shame that it doesn't get on television here. I think when television was fragmented, it was very difficult, you know, as a chess body in the English Chess Federation, it was real hard to know who to approach. And I think what television people haven't appreciated now is that you can present chess so much better. I mean, literally, you know when Magnus Carlsen's made a stupid move before he does, because you can telestrate the board, you can have the computer on analysing the position in real time. And so if Carlsen plays an incredibly bad move, then we have this little bar next to the board, and the bar literally moves. Mm. So if it's halfway up, the position's equal. If it goes down, black's winning. If it goes up, white's winning. And you can see in real time what's actually going on in the game and telestrate the moves of the pieces and make chess accessible to people who don't even play.
Sounds good. How would you access that? Is there a sort of World Championship website?
Yeah, so there are lots of places where you can watch it online. There's worldchess.com. Chess24 is excellent. They've got a couple of top Russians commentating, and also chess.com. Those, I'd say, are kind of the three main ones that are doing it. I'm even showing it in London, actually. I don't know. I've got a chess shop here on Baker Street, and we're also some people are walking in just to watch it live. You know, so we've got someone commentating on the games here as well. So there's no end of ways you can look at the game.
And finally, it's a 12 game series, so it's just like first to seven, basically.
Yeah, first to 6.5 because you get half for a draw.
Right.
So if it ends 11 11 draws and one win, it'd be 6.5, 5.5, and it's 2-2 at the moment with 8 to play. If it's 6-6, then they have speed chess tiebreak. So you get the three forms of chess, a bit like cricket, you know.
Like a penalty shootout in the chess.
Exactly. We even have an Armageddon game. If all the speed chess still ends in a draw, we have this thing that we call the Armageddon game, where one guy gets 5 minutes on the clock, the other guy gets 4 minutes on the clock, but the player who moves first with the white pieces has to win the game. So you've got to have a winner no matter what.
And if all else fails, paper, scissors, stone.
Yeah,
of course. That's it. Cheers, Malcolm. Thanks very much.
Cheers. All right.
There we are. Everything you want to know about the World Chess Championship.
Did you ever watch it when it was on Channel 4?
I remember when Nigel Short was a bit of a star over here.
It was quite exciting. I mean, you know, obviously had to have a lot of it explained.
Well, we know Trent, he'll be watching it, won't he, in the England camp ahead of the game tomorrow.
Absolutely,
he'll be glued to worldchess.com watching it, as it's his old mucker that he played and just lost out to recently. But there we are. It's Hawksby and Jacobs. It's International Week, of course, giving us a little window to do the chess.
Well, fair enough.
Although tomorrow we hand over the network, I think it's fair to say, to one Wayne Rooney. Having said that, we've got some great guests coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
We've got a top lineup for you. But including the biographer, the official biographer of Wayne Rooney, whose seminal work, Rooney Tunes, is available on Amazon for 45p plus £2 postage and packing. It is, of course, one Michael Parry. And he will be here. I'm taking the book home tonight to have a good read, to refresh myself.
Lord.
And maybe we'll get a reading. We'll go for a reading. It's always good, that, isn't it?
Get Mike to read.
Mike to do a reading from a bit of it. I'll find a nice passage
for him. That's a good idea, actually.
So
do the first chapter where it's all about Mike.
Well, we're also going to ask him His dedication for the book is quite interesting. Yes. It's two people you wouldn't necessarily put together. But anyway, Mike will be here. Hmm. We'll have some great Wayne Rooney clips from over the years as well. As we salute. We might as well embrace it. Everybody's moaned about it. Let's embrace it now, shall we? It's happening. So let's salute Wayne Rooney in his final game in an England shirt. We'll be doing that tomorrow from 1.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The big news of the day.
Oh, yeah.
This courtesy of Graham Beecroft and Mark Nicholas is...
Jokanovic! Gone!
Yes, and replaced by Claudio Ranieri.
Show isn't just slung together.
No, that's it. The production work by the production team.
Sensational. Did you see that? What was I going to say here? I got deflected.
I didn't. No, you got deflected.
I know you
didn't,
did
you?
Yes, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, yes, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, happy birthday to Prince Charles, of course.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the photo toadying you were doing there.
Oh, yes, well, I am.
You've met him, of course.
Oh, I've met him, yeah.
Once had the day off, folks. Had the day off. Lost a day's pay. Had a day off to stand in a circle of people about 4 foot from him.
Yeah.
Not say anything to him, not be addressed by him, but just to hang on his every word.
That's right.
At a dry stone walling event.
That's right. My mate won dry stone waller of the year.
Did he really?
Yeah.
So, didn't get a lot of call for that round Chiswick way, did
well,
he?
It wasn't in Chiswick. It was in near Highgrove.
Oh, okay.
Where he lives, of course. So, that was good. And he was there. But I sort of wanted to speak to him, but I bottled it, really.
Andrew, what's the opener? What's
know,
the first?
What
Wrighty was talking about that today. He was saying when he first linked up with England, and there was Gazza and all these England boys, Lineker and all these boys he'd watched.
Yeah.
What's the opener? What'd you come in with?
I've no idea.
Because it's difficult, isn't it?
All right, Chuck.
Yeah. Maybe the listeners can help us. Maybe you made a bit of a berkey yourself. When you're in the company of someone, you knew the first impression was important. All you wanted to do was say the right thing to that person when you met them. And it went a bit pear-shaped. Let us know. Because all right, Chuck, I think, wouldn't have gone down too well, would it?
No, I always like it, though, when they do the captioning of the photos. And it was a lovely photo, but they sort of isolated the photo of the new baby, Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, chubby cheeks. Yeah, he's a baby.
Yeah.
What do you want him to have?
Exactly. They didn't say looks a bit like Winston Churchill, did they?
No, they didn't.
You got nowhere to go with that, have you?
They didn't bother with that at all. And so never mind about that. And I also, this letter to the Sun as well.
Oh, OK, yeah.
Which was fascinating, really. I mean, about Raheem Sterling. It says, Manchester United and others whinge about Raheem Sterling's stepovers being wrong and immoral. Who said they were immoral?
Immoral.
I don't think they were immoral. Anyway, it doesn't...
I didn't have a problem with it, did you?
I didn't have a problem with
it. I
mean,
you know, players showboat all the time. What's the difference between that and kind of cupping the ear to the opposition fans?
I'm not sure. Sometimes Pep helps when he has one of his, you know, end of the match sort of lectures to the players.
Yeah.
You know, sort of clearly telling him off, you know. So,
you've been incredibly strong today, Andy, because we had bad news earlier on today. A close member of your son, effectively, Spud, your adopted son.
Spud. He's gone missing.
He's gone missing. Last time we did What's in Andy's Bag, we discovered he carries around a potato. That's right, a potato with a happy face on one side And yeah. I mean, I don't know if Gary Bloom's listening to this, because that's a good two-hour show, really, I'd say, for you one Sunday night, Gary. But try and delve into it from a psychological point of view. Who carries a potato around with a happy face and a sad face on the other side?
It was a sort of, it started as a private joke between all of us here on H&J.
But you've got quite attached to him.
I sort of launched it publicly. And
so we've now sent out.
I wish I hadn't now.
We've now sent out a wanted poster. If you see a potato looking
I've
very much
him.
Like
I don't know
that.
What happened to him. He was starting to go on the turn, though.
He was. But he's a bit like David Bowie, reinvents himself after 6 months, doesn't he? He's been spudnapped. That's what the producers asked me to call it. The reward, of course, is $1.75.
Of course it is.
He enjoys cricket and train rides from Chiswick to Waterloo.
Yeah, he does.
He is an only child. And he's 6 months old and he's male and he's a two-faced potato.
Well, there
you are.
I am.
So, so if you do spot him out there, I can't see how he's got. No one's nicked him out of your bag.
I don't know what happened. He must have fallen out of my bag.
Really? I mean, that would be a bit of a shocker to someone.
Somebody found that.
Somebody said, excuse me, mate, you've dropped this potato
with a face on it.
A happy and a sad face on either side. Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
And explain that one away.
Now, I got an email yesterday from an old school friend.
Oh, okay.
And I went to a mixed school.
Did you really?
Yeah, which is why I'm so in touch with my feminine side.
Yeah, that's great.
And I knew it was
I had you down as a kind of a proper old boys' school.
I know,
type,
yeah, exactly. It said
being held in front of the fire by your arms, pinned back by the big boys, Flashman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hi, Jakes. It said
Jakes.
That's what I was. That was my nickname at school. Hi, Jakes.
I'm not bringing that back.
I know. I don't want you to. So, but anyway, you'll like this because it's from Linda. Linda, I used to know as Linda Day. I went to school with her, and her sister Sue is a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
And I don't normally do this, but she said it's her birthday on Thursday.
Yeah.
And would I say hello?
You've gone
to
a day early, so it's Wednesday.
Well, you know, I know. What can you do?
Sue's going to be gutted.
Well, she
asked, you had one job, Andy.
The fact that I actually remember to do it at all is an absolute miracle. So be happy
with
that.
You can do it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday for tomorrow. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I could do, yeah. They're all going for a spa day.
So did you? Okay, really?
Come on, you spas.
Sue Day's having a spa day.
Exactly.
What did you catch up? What's been going on in her life?
Well, not
Linda?
Really. She's still friendly with the other people at school. And
yeah.
So had I...
Give her some of the names she's still friendly with.
She's still friendly with Kim and Sharon.
Kim and Sharon.
That's right.
I had a Kim and Sharon at my school.
Have you seen Habs? That's Dave Haberley, who listens to the show. He's a big Arsenal fan. So
I'm sensing this is it's all a bit in this.
Well,
isn't
it probably is. You know, that's why I said it's international. I wouldn't normally.
I don't
do
know
this.
Any of these people. What chance have the audience got?
Not at all.
Yeah,
I've got a T20 birthday spread if you'd like.
Okay, is it involving an ex-class member of yours?
It doesn't.
Okay,
it
fair enough. I've got a chance.
I think he's an actor. Let's see, what does he do? Oh no, he's a children's author. He wrote River Boy in 1997.
Oh yeah.
It's a very happy birthday to Tim Bowler.
Tim Bowler, okay.
Yeah, I went to a fete with him, actually, to see his brother Tom, who'd organised the raffle.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was it. That was well worth it. I'd say Tim Bowler's 67.
If I was Tim's parents, I would have called him Tom, wouldn't you? You'd have to. If your name's Bowler, you'd have called his son Tom.
I think there is a Tom Bowler out there, isn't there? I think there already is.
Is there?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, I'd imagine there is a Thomas Bowler.
Yeah, no, there is. There's definitely
bowling
a
bowler.
Bell.
Anyway, how old is he? I
said 67.
Oh, not bad. He's 65.
Oh, okay. Well, I did the business there then, didn't I?
That was almost like a T10, that one.
Has Spud been microchipped? Come on. By the good people at McCain's. So if you do lose him, they can just microchip him, can't they?
Yeah.
We're slightly worried he's going to be turned into microchipped. Although, as we said, he had gone a bit green.
Now, his hair had sprouted. Something was sprouting out the top of
his
head.
Great. You have to...
Yeah, I'm on. He was Spud 3. I'll have to buy a new potato.
Yeah, you are. That's what I mean. The thing is, you can just replace him.
Well,
can't
they are quite easily replaceable, although I do get attached to them.
I'm sure you do. They get attached to your bag as well as they start to go a bit mulchy.
Yeah.
We do what's in Andy's bag now and again because I can't think why. Someone came in to the studio about 2 months ago and gave us a sweet. I don't know why they gave us a sweet. They gave us this little chocolate Ferrero Rocher type sweet. And, of course, I ate it. You know, that's what you do with sweets. Give it to you, I ate it. And Andy's not
to
Andy.
Well, I took two. I ate one. And
oh, okay, fair enough.
Put one in my bag.
So this thing came out today. It was all kind of dissolved and crushed in the bag. And, of course, what's in Andy's bag? A two-month-old sweet, amongst other things, but not a potato. So if you do see it, do let us know. What have we got here? Ben, the Arsenal fan in Marlow, says, let's hope it wasn't a surprise spa day for Sue.
Oh, yeah, it's a good point. Sorry, Sue. If I've, Well, now, ruined it for you.
Yeah, poor old Sue Linda. She's going to say, yeah, well done, Andy. This is your,
no, well done, Jakes.
Yeah, Jakes.
She's going to say
this is another one of your Curb Your Enthusiasm moments.
We're going to, I've ruined the whole thing.
Sue Funkhauser in tears. It had been floods of, you've ruined their day. You've ruined their day.
I know. Yeah. I didn't go to school with them, but I wish them very well.
Okay.
Mr. R.J.G. Morrison Outwater and the Honourable H.R.E. Palmer. They've just got engaged.
R.J.G. Outwater.
Yeah, R.J.G. Morrison Outwater.
Really?
And the Honourable H.R.E. Palmer. So that's incredible. It won't be a pay bar, obviously.
Yeah. No, imagine that. It won't be one of those where they'll put like a grand behind the bar, but as soon as I turn up,
it's finished.
It's finished.
It's run out.
Always seems to happen, doesn't it?
Well, that's the way it goes.
Fantastic. Well, I had a grand. I can't see where it's all gone. Then you see someone's nan drinking Petrus with Cristiano Ronaldo. Then you see where it all went, don't you?
It's true. And grand wouldn't last as long as they were doing Petrus. And it's not strictly
my grand
sport,
used to drink petrol, I think, if I remember rightly. But there was a war on, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a tea story, this, isn't it?
I think we're done now, Andy. Oh, okay. I'm exhausted just listening to you. I don't know how the listeners feel. I'm going to need to lie down. There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We've got an APB out. If you do see Spud,
he was spotted though. If you go, well,
Spud. He was in the Commons, wasn't he?
He was behind Theresa May.
Yeah, so he's obviously gone for a little day at for PMQs, isn't he? Anyway, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. We've got some great guests: Daley Thompson, Roy Walker, Jeff Thomas, Mike Parry, loads coming in, and lots more besides, and clips, some Wayne Rooney clips to celebrate his return to the England squad. Until then, have a fine evening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.